You're listening to National Prison Radio and welcome to the new Transition and Hope series brought to you in partnership with INGEUS. We have put this series together to remind you that as you move forward through your prison sentence, support from organisations such as INGEUS and the opportunities to transform your life are within reach. Transition can feel uncertain, but it's also a powerful chance to create a future that works for you. I'm in the offices of INGEUS, who are one of the many providers of after-prison care, and today we discuss transition and hope with Chris. Chris, welcome to NPR.
Hi, Faye. Thanks very much for inviting me. It's a pleasure. I used to listen to prison radio all those years ago, so it's nice to go full circle. Thank you.
Amazing, Chris. Thank you. Chris, you was 53 when you first experienced the criminal justice system. Can you talk to us a bit more about the lead up to your prison sentence and your experiences in prison?
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, I was 53. I'd had a pretty normal life up to that point. I was married quite young. I had my kids pretty soon after I'd got married. I worked hard and I ended up in the motor trade. I used to run car dealerships. Life was good. The kids were growing up and I had a nice house, I had a nice family, I had a good job, nice car, all this sort of thing. And then life started to spiral a bit for me financially. Looking back, I was just probably too proud to reach out or to say no. I just wanted to be the perfect dad, the perfect husband, the perfect boss. But I started taking money out of the company that I worked for. That's when the whole thing started to come down like a pack of cards. We tried to resolve the situation with the company I'd pinched the money from privately, but that didn't happen. So I waited 6 months before I actually got arrested. And then I sort of shook myself up and, you know, waiting for a court date. I ended up waiting 2 years to get to court because of different things. COVID kicked in as well, which didn't help. I got 3 years. I pleaded guilty. I got 3 years for fraud by misrepresentation and false accounting.
I've been reading your bio and you mentioned you'd done a mental health qualification while you were in custody. Can you talk to us a little bit more about that?
Thanks, Faye. Yeah, I think initially it was probably boredom. You know, it was just, you know, there was no sort of formal training. It was stuff put under your door that you filled in, completed, read, sent back, and then it came back and so on. So it was something I did it probably initially for selfish reasons, just to find out what was going on in my own head a little bit and to try and get a better understanding, because I'd never, you know, my mental health had always been, good. I had, prior to going into jail, I had engaged with Mind and stuff and going to men's groups just to try and make sense of things. That sort of course, like, built on that and explained quite a lot to me about what I was going through and how I felt. I did the course and then I got a knock one day from some guy, I can't remember the name of the organisation now, but just asked if I'd be like the rep on the wing, so to support the listeners. And I think with my age as well, I was, you know, I wouldn't say I was a father figure, but I was probably one of the oldest on the wing, so I think the lads could relate to me a little bit and talk to me like they maybe would have done their elder brother or their dad or something. I did get a lot out of it, and I think started to learn that when you try to help somebody else, you can actually help yourself. It can be traumatic at times because you can trigger with certain experiences that someone's gone through that you've gone through yourself. But as you come to terms with them that little bit better, you're able to help them a little bit more, which I found quite a bit of a solace in, to be honest with you.
That's brilliant. Thank you so much, Chris. Upon release, you engage with INGEUS through personal wellbeing. How was you introduced to INGEUS? Was it while she was in custody, or was it after you'd been released?
When I was released, I didn't have anywhere to live, and I didn't have my first probation appointment for some reason for a week. So in that week, I tried to sort of, my bank account had been frozen because I hadn't used it. I didn't have an email address. I didn't have a phone. I couldn't get any benefits because I didn't have a bank account. I couldn't get anywhere to live. I couldn't get back on the council list because I had a conviction, and it was a nightmare. And then I met me first probation officer, Amy, who was lovely. And then, like, you know, I saw her on the Friday, and by the Monday or the Tuesday, I got a bank account open. I had a phone. She was absolutely mint. And I worked with her for 2 or 3 weeks. And then she said, "Do you fancy doing some personal wellbeing stuff?" And I didn't know what personal wellbeing was or whatever. She explained it. And then I got a referral through to INGEUS personal wellbeing within maybe about a month of being released, which was really good. I started having a few sessions with that. I think I only did about 4 or 5 sessions, and then I got referred onto the peer mentor program.
Can you tell us a little bit about the peer mentor program?
That was one of the big turning points for me. When I got on the peer mentor program, it was like, it's Wednesday at 10 o'clock. So I knew what I was doing on a Wednesday at 10, and I was meeting the same people. And we had quite a good group. We had about, seven or eight of us, and we all gelled. And I can't remember at the time, I think it was about 8 or 10 weeks, the group. So, you know, we covered all sorts of things, which we faced them head on, to be honest. And I think, you know, some of the lads that were in the group all had different experiences. When we talked about things, certain topics, stress, anxiety, depression, family issues and so on, we all had that common bond. And, you know, you think that you've got a problem and you're the only one in the world that's got that issue. But once you have the confidence to open up and talk to it and address it, for me, it was massive. You know, it taught me things there that I still use today.
So you completed the peer mentor course with INGEUS. So can you tell us how that helped you gain employment as a recovery guide on a dependency and recovery contract?
Yeah, certainly. I asked probation if they'd refer me back in to INGEUS, to ETE, Education, Training and Employment. And I remember getting a call off this lad called Marty. And he said, oh, I need you to come down. We need to have a look at your CV and this, that and the other. And like my CV was all motor trade and finance and stuff like this. And he says, we've got this new contract coming up. He says, it's dependency and recovery. It's working with people who are engaged in the criminal justice system. And he says, would you be interested? So I said, I thought you had to have qualifications to do that sort of thing, or, you know, letters after your name or a diploma or something. And he goes, no, he says, and he touched on the mental health thing I'd done when I was in custody. And then he says, but you've got the lived experience. He says, you've lived it, you've done it, you've breathed it. He says, you can't go on a course to learn that. And he says, I've gone, oh, well, so come down for the interview. So anyway, I went down for the interview, and then they explained what the job was. It was basically as a guide, you sort of support a navigator, which is a caseworker, in mentoring people who've been referred in. So I thought, well, this is pretty similar to what I was doing when I was in jail, to be honest. And I was lucky that the contract was just starting, like within a couple of weeks. So I started that, and back to the old thing of just working with people and trying to use my experience to benefit them and to help them progress.
Brilliant, Chris. So you think you look back, you had this life, which you've said, obviously, you lost a lot because you went to prison. You've utilised your time in prison to do the mental health qualification. You've done a peer mentor course. You've then gone on to the recovery guide on the dependency and recovery contract. Now you're sitting here today and look at where you are now. Can you talk us through that journey from that recovery guide role to what it is you're doing today to help people who are on probation?
Yeah, so I did the recovery guide job for a bit, and then there was an opportunity came up to be a navigator, which is like a case handler. Yeah, so I did that for, I don't know, about 9 months or 10 months. And then we got recognised with an award as well, which was just like, you know, I've won stuff in my time, like in other jobs. But when we won this, it was a NAPACS award, that meant more to me. It was like, that was a proper milestone. Do you know what I mean? I thought, I've come through all this and we've got there, and now you're getting recognised. And I thought, oh, that was mint. So I did that for ages, and I wasn't looking for a new job. And I was working with a lad whose contract was coming to an end, and it was just one lunchtime, he was looking for something. And there was an opportunity came up to go to the Wise Group, which is another CRS provider, predominantly based in Scotland, on the engaging people on probation contract. So what we do is we take people with lived experience. We have a team of people who support us, and we go into probation officers, and we go into team meetings, into staff training events. We'll do forums and workshops on risk, sentence planning, domestic violence, addiction, all sorts of things. But we try to, I wouldn't say it's bring it to life, but you know, some of the stuff, the training and things that probation go through is probably a bit monotonous, you know, sitting for 3 hours talking about sentence planning or risk. But if you can bring somebody in who's got that experience, so like, for example, last week or a couple of weeks ago, we brought in a lady called Anne, who was in her 60s, white collar crime, late offender, a guy called Stephen, who was a lifer. So he'd done 17 years. So they're understanding of risk and how they were assessed and how it affected their lives is totally different. And we try to get that across to probation, like bring the voice of lived experience full circle in front of probation and try and get them to implement a culture change, really, or an attitude change to what people who've been through this process and been through those emotions and experiences, what benefit that can bring to people's training and the way they carry out their work.
Amazing, Chris, thank you. It's so inspirational listening to you, it really, really is. So this is finally, what advice could you give to anybody who's coming towards the end of the prison sentence and they're worried that they might not have all the support they need upon release?
Your relationship with your probation practitioner is probably critical. That was the first thing for me. That was the gateway. She signposted me to, you know, not only to NGS but to things to do with housing, to do with finance and all sorts of things. You need support to move you forward, whether it's your family, your friends, or whether it's professionals. So I think just don't be too proud to take any support that's offered. And if it is offered, for example, with the personal wellbeing or whatever service, go into it with an open mind.
Well, Chris is just one of the many people with experience of prison who are working to support you after you're released whilst you're on probation. Whether it's building confidence and resilience, finding employment, improving your money management skills, finding a place to live, or setting achievable goals, the support to help you make it happen. This is your journey, and each step forward can be filled with hope and endless possibilities.